I'm John Strum, and this is a Real Talk MS Ectrums Extra conversation. I'm at Ectrums 2023 in Milan, and I'm speaking with Dr. Robert Model. Dr. Model is a professor in the Department of Kinesiology and Nutrition, as well as a professor in the Department of Rehabilitation Sciences at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Dr. Model has generated an entire body of research validating the benefits of common physical activity for people living with MS. And he just gave a presentation here at Ectrums on exercise, brain health, and MS. Dr. Model, thanks for joining me today.
John, thanks for having me.
I think everyone is familiar with the concept of exercise to help maintain a healthy body, but we probably don't think about it as often as an important tool for maintaining a healthy brain. Can you explain the concept of what brain health really is all about and the relationship between exercise and brain health?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. To me, brain health is having a brain that has the strongest integrity and strongest connectivity. That is, the brain is very strong and very healthy, and its areas are communicating very well together. And exercise is a stimulus that activates the brain. Exercise is a stimulus that activates the brain because the brain has to control what we do when we're exercising. And so our ideas are that exercise, by activating the brain, stimulates the brain to become more healthy and do a better job at regulating exercise behavior.
So now that we have an idea of what brain health is about and how exercise impacts brain health, how does that relate to multiple sclerosis?
Yeah, that's another great question. So we know that multiple sclerosis is a disease that causes deterioration of different areas of the brain and how those areas of the brain communicate and interact with one another. And so those are cardinal hallmark features of the disease. And so what's really important here is that we can study exercise as a way of maybe restoring the structure of these different areas, improving the connection of these areas, or maybe even slowing down the rate that the disease has in eroding these areas of the brain over time and their connections.
Can you talk about the kinds of benefits that exercise or physical activity can deliver to someone who's living with MS?
Yeah, I think the most important benefit is that it helps you to do the things that you love to do on a daily basis. So we always start with those things as salient outcomes. So for example, people will tell us, I really love to garden. And since I have had MS, I can't garden any longer. And so getting someone back to doing those things that they miss doing, that MS has kind of taken away from them, to me is one of our biggest starting points. But that doesn't really sell well in kind of medicine. That sells at the personal level. So we also focus on all the other things. So cognition is a major function that deteriorates with multiple sclerosis. So we study the effects of exercise on cognition to show that exercise can improve cognitive function or walking function. To me, the biggest benefits are things that affect almost everybody with MS, like fatigue and depression. And we know that those have such profound effects in people's lives. And we know on the flip side that exercise can reduce the fatigue that people are experiencing, not make it worse, but actually reduce the fatigue that they're experiencing. It can improve their mood, make them less depressed, less anxious. And those things translate into improved quality of life, which at the end of the day, living a life of high quality and value, isn't that our ultimate goal?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that exercise can actually improve how you manage your fatigue. I think that's kind of a counterintuitive idea, but you've shown it's a valid idea.
Yeah, you know, I think all of us, when we engage in a bout of exercise, even regular exercises, when they're done, they're a little tired, right? But as we repeat that bout of exercise over and over and over again, we actually become less tired from that bout. And that adaptation translates into everyday tasks and things that we do that normally might drain us a little bit, but now we have the reserve and the capacity to buffer against those things that drain us and make us fatigued. So it is a little counterintuitive, but I think if you think about repeatedly being exposed to something, we develop a tolerance to it, and that tolerance translates.
You know, a moment ago, I heard you mention something about ideas that sell well and ideas that don't sell as well. Your work provides evidence that physical activity is beneficial for people living with MS. But for many people with MS, just like people who don't have MS, the motivation to maintain an exercise regimen may start out strong, but it doesn't always last. There aren't a lot of ways that someone living with MS can actually do something for themselves that will improve their overall quality of life. Exercise does that. How do we get more people to get that message?
Yeah, that's kind of the lifeblood of my work. We have the data to suggest exercise is beneficial. Now the question is how do we get more people engaging in this life-altering behavior? And I think we have to start with that message that exercise is probably one of the most potent and effective things that you can engage in and help people understand that and then personalize it. We all have our own personal reason for the things, for doing the things that we do on a daily basis. And I think it becomes very salient to find those personal things. If I can give you a quick story.
Sure.
I once had a participant in a randomized controlled trial that we were doing who came to me and said, Rob, I want to do your trial because I need to improve my walking because my son's getting married in 6 months. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty big ask because she came in her power wheelchair,
oh,
right?
Boy.
She could still walk, but that's how she came in. Suffice it to say, she did a six-month multimodal exercise training program, and she went to her son's wedding, and she was able to walk him down the aisle. But that wasn't the most profound thing. She came back and told me, Rob, not only did I walk him down the aisle, I was able to dance with him that night.
Wow.
And so to her, she had this really deep personal reason for engaging in exercise. She was able to accrue that and actualize that. She's been a lifelong exerciser since.
So like a lot of things in life, you have to find your why.
Absolutely.
Last year, you and Dr. Brian Sandroff, who happens to be your co-presenter here at ECTRIMS, published an article that suggested that neurologists should do more than just tell their patients that exercise is good for them. You suggested they take a more active role in prescribing exercise. Can you talk about what that role might encompass?
Yeah, so that idea that the neurologist needs to be front and center in the exercise prescription might seem counterintuitive because they have so much to do during a patient visit. But we had done interviews with well over 100 individuals with multiple sclerosis, and we asked them a simple question. Who do you want your exercise prescription and information to come from? And uniformly, they said the neurologist. Now, that hurt me deeply as a kinesiologist, but that was the uniform message that we heard. And they heard that the neurologist is this person because the neurologist knows them fundamentally, knows what their needs are, what their deficiencies might be, and can help them understand what the exercise program is that they really need to do. And so we also did talk to the neurologist and asked them about this very question. And they said, yeah, we'd be happy to do it, but we need tools. We need resources. We need all the things to put this in place. And so there's actually a toolkit for this that we've created now that can help the neurologist understand the basic things that they need to do in about 2 to 3 minutes. To ask the questions and to motivate the person to initiate this program. And then the nurse and the rest of the healthcare provider team can help to put the program in place and support it. And every time that the patient comes back to see the neurologist, this is a point of contact and a point of discussion. Again, how are things going? What do we need to do? How do we change? And I think that if we integrate it efficiently and seamlessly into the patient visit, this is probably the biggest bang for our buck in exercise promotion.
Dr. Robert Model, thank you for all you do to improve the quality of life for people who are living with MS. And thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me, John. And this is my life mission, to improve the lives of people with MS through exercise.
I'm John Strum. And this Real Talk MS ECTRIMS Extra was made possible by a grant from Sanofi.